But here is this poor, and I mean this compassionately, this poor, pathetic woman whose flesh and blood, her little girl, is tormented with demonic oppression. I love my little girls, man, and my little granddaughters. I would rather get hit by a truck than to let something happen to them. God forbid. You know, I just want to, you have a little, there's something about a daddy and his little girl. Am I right, Tom? Am I right, Dave? God help the, pity the fool that messes with my little girl, man. Don't even go there. Yeah. And this woman is beside herself. Her little girl, her daughter, her flesh and blood that she bore and carried for 9 months and delivered and suckled and nurtured and cared for and protected and laid her life down for, is in a horrible place, tormented with demonic oppression. She has an unclean spirit. What a tragic, terrible thought. And she loves this little girl, and it is eating her up because she's helpless to do anything, and I'm sure she has tried everything at that point. I'm sure she has just cried out, "What do I do?" And all these disciples can do is groan and moan and whine and complain. Send her away. She won't leave us alone. Send her away. She's not a Jew. She's different. She's got a problem. What problem is that of ours? We're not sent to her. Her daughter probably deserves to be tormented. That's what you get when you worship idols. Oh, well, you don't want that stuff, then repent or do something different. Go get proselytized. Go get changed. But it's not our problem. You mess with that stuff, you deserve what you get. That's where they are. That's where they live. They can't even see your brokenness. Let her daughter suffer. Let her suffer. I believe that when Jesus met this woman with silence, when he didn't say a word, when she said, "Lord, help," and he didn't say a word, I actually think that he was staring at his disciples the whole time. I believe that. I can't prove it, but I believe that. I believe that when that poor woman came to him and said, "Lord, help," and he saw the attitude in his disciples, and they were heartless. They were absolutely stone cold. I think he looked at that woman, and I think he looked at them. And the place was just pregnant with silence. I think he was watching them because he could scarcely believe the hardness of their hearts. He was probably just rocked to see this compelling image of this woman at the end of her rope and their utter heartlessness towards her. I don't think he had a word. He just stood and looked at him. Think about this. They weren't saying to him, "Can we make an exception?" They weren't saying, "Lord, I know we were just sent to Israel. I know we have a ministry to our brethren, the Jews. But God, but Lord Jesus, isn't this... this just tears at my heart. Can we make an exception here? Can we bend the rules just a little bit? We did it for the Roman guy. And yeah, he had a sword. And yeah, he built the Jews a synagogue. And he was rich and influential and all that kind of stuff. But this poor woman, it just tears at my heart. They're not going to him for that. They're not asking for an exception. They're like, let her suffer. Send her away. Kick her to the curb, Jesus. Get her out of our sight. She's bothering us. I'm hungry. I want some food. Is it ready yet?" And I believe that when he said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of Israel," I think he was actually looking at them. Again, I can't prove it, and it's not even my idea. That's what John Ortberg said a few years ago. I think he was just looking at them, looking at this poor woman who was just in a pool of tears, broken, in humbling herself in the dirt before him. I think he looked at his at his disciples just to see their reaction. He says, just to mirror the thoughts of their heart. In the face of this pathetic picture, to say, I wasn't sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Just to see what they would do, just so they could hear their thoughts in his own words. Sometimes God has to do that. Sometimes he has to have somebody else say what our thoughts are so we can actually hear what we're thinking, because we are blind to it. We don't even realize. And in the meantime, this woman begins to worship Jesus. She falls at his feet, probably clings to his sandals and his garment and says, Lord, help me. That's all she's got at this point. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. Sometimes we're reduced to that, where that's all we've got left is, Lord, help me. I've given every argument I can. I prayed every way from Sunday. I don't know what else to say, God, except help me. Help me. You know, this is weird, because it's not only a test for his disciples just to expose their heart. This is a test for the woman as well. What's she going to do when she's met with silence? What's she going to do? What is she going to do when he says, I wasn't sent to you. I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Because this woman could very well have simply copped an attitude. Oh, fine. I'm not good enough for you, huh? You only help the Jewish people. Fine. Be that way. I don't want your healing. I don't need your healing. I'll deal with it myself. I'll pay somebody something. He'll concoct something, and I'll be fine. Just fine. Just have it your way. I'm sorry I even bothered you. Go eat your food. Hope you have a nice day. She could have done that. How many of us have ever done that? I don't get it, God. I don't get it. What is up? Why don't you hear me? Why won't you answer me? Am I doing something wrong? She was under a test. Would she hang in there? Would she cop an attitude and walk away? Don't we do that sometimes when things, and we don't think that in our mind. We may not even direct it to God. But we're tired, we're hurt, we're put out, and it's not fair. And so we'll just indulge ourselves. I deserve this because it's not fair. You know what we're really saying? God, you can't manage my life, so I'm taking over. I'll handle things from here. And we do. And we, the stuff we do to ourselves. And God just wants us to hang in there, because He has the answer. He wants it for us more than we even want it for ourselves. And so here's the test. Is she going to hang in there? Is she going to persist in faith and believe in the heart of Jesus to show her mercy? Or is she going to simply get bitter and walk away? The amazing thing is, and this is ironic, man. This blows my mind. The amazing thing is that while the disciples of Jesus Christ were failing their test miserably, this pagan Gentile woman was passing hers brilliantly with flying colors. I'm going to cry just talking about it, man. Brilliantly, humble, persistent, unceasing faith. She would not be denied. She saw something in Jesus that she knew was real and true, and she would not turn back till she laid a hold of it. Man, I love that. She took the abuse on the chin. She could have looked, she could have heard, I'm sure she heard the disciples saying to Jesus, send her away. She keeps following after us. Kick her out. What do you think that does to her heart when you come to somebody for your little girl and they don't even want to be bothered? They say, kick her out. She took the abuse on the chin. She took the rejection on the chin. She took it all, and she never retaliated. She never got bitter. She never got angry. She just sucked it up. And she ate it, and she swallowed it, and she came back humble and gentle and meek, and it wasn't a put on. And she said, Lord, help me. And I think she made an impression on the Lord. What do you think?